All right, does anybody else have any announcements before we get started? All right, if not, we'll go ahead and dedicate the service to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Pastor Al if he would stand and do that for us, please. Again, I'd like to welcome you out to our youth service. If the Lord lays something on your heart, by all means do it. We've got an agenda, but it's always open to how He leads. So if He lays something on you, it's definitely in order. That being said, does anybody have a testimony at this time? Or? All right. They have been doing, if you've been reading your bulletin, they have been doing, I think they're calling them blessing leaves, the past few weeks, raising money. For that, for the project Serving for Jesus Ministry. And if you don't know what that is, basically a short term, I call it a street ministry. They've gone out, they've gathered clothes, passed out food in Charleston. If I'm not mistaken, part of this is going to school supply or Christmas presents. Or Emily's kind of shaking her head, yeah. Okay, so anyway. We're going to present those blessing leaves tonight, and as just a thank you for everybody that has bought, they have raised $470. So, and they're going to use that sometime in December, like I said, for the Christmas presents, however that's going to be organized. So, if nobody's got anything at this time, we're going to go ahead and start presenting these blessing leaves.
This first blessing leaf is for Pastor Al from an anonymous donor. He blesses me by being such a godly man and having such a sweet spirit. The next one is for Terry and Mickey Smith. Vicky Gibson. Debbie Bailey. Tiffany Johnson. Sherry Litton. Susie Jones. And Julie Jarrett.
All right, does anybody have a testimony at this time? That went really smooth, but I just I noticed something. Maybe when we continue those, if your name's called, if you would just stand up, it might make it a little easier for them to spot you out. If nobody's got anything, Andrea?
You guys probably know this song by now. It's a blessing song, so if you know it, sing it along.
When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world
Some gave it all. just a song. He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so
this blessing leaf is for Audrey Parsons from Rosalie. There are many more who have been special in one way or another, and this doesn't mean Audrey is above anyone else. It's just that she has shown me so much concern and love, prayers and cards when I needed it and didn't expect it at the time. Audrey stands out in my mind when I was first approached about this special event. Again, like I said, everyone here is very special to Al and me, but Audrey just stood out at this particular time. May God bless you all, and especially her, is in my prayer. Aaron Jones. Brenda Fisher. Brock Strickland. Stacy Reed. Brian and Kelly Harper. Gina Hickenbottom. Joy Cranfield. Dawson Miller. Greg Bailey.
Happy times of our lives. But sometimes blessings can be in disguise. And our young people may not have lived long enough to have had the life experiences to know that some of the greatest disappointments, some of the biggest heartbreaks, turn out later on, as you're looking back, to be life's biggest blessings. And that's what this song is talking about. What if they're in disguise? This features Ethan Koontz and Austin Jones.
Disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy.
And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights,
are your mercies in disguise?
Anybody have a testimony? If not, we got some more blessing leaves.
These next two blessing leaves are from Aaron Davis, or for Aaron Davis and Brian Miller from KIPP. At work, it is good to have someone to talk to about things that a lot of people you work with would not want to talk about or want anything to do with. It is nice to have Christian brothers close when you need them. Lexi Strickland. Kim Miller. John Litton. Cindy Good. Becky Strickland. And Pam Gandy.
Anybody got anything at this point? If not, I'm going to ask, Tim, would you stand, please, and pray for the message as Rob comes?
Awful quiet. Has God been good to you? How good has God been to you? Wonderful. I want to give you a chance. If you didn't, if everybody stand up. Look around. All right, look around. If somebody here has been a blessing to you, go hug them and tell them. Go hug them and tell them. Ryan Harper. Everybody up here, you're a huge blessing right there. Can you do what? Can you touch me? You can sit back down, yes. You can.
Hey, Rob, I noticed that gave Isaac Coons an excuse to hug every girl.
It was his idea. I'm just kidding. All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We'll start in verse 19. Speaking of Pilate, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Speaking of Jesus, "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So the governor answered and said to them, "Whether the twain will ye that I release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Just for a few minutes, I want to ask you, what shall we do with Jesus? What shall we do with Jesus? That's the important question. That's the important question in life, above all other questions, is what shall we do with Jesus? Not we, but you. What shall I do? It's individual. It's personal. What shall I do? What should I do with Jesus? He asked him a good question. What should I do with him? What should I do with this man that I find no fault in? What shall I do with this man who I can't convict? What shall I do with this man who I have no reason to do wrong, to do harm? What shall I do with this man, Jesus? So my question to you is, what shall we do? What should we do with Jesus? What have we done with Jesus? In our life, what have we done with Christ? What have we done with the one who did everything for us? You know, a lot of people will say, I would die for Jesus. And that's good, because there may come a day, you never know, there may come a day when you get that option. There may come a day where someone stands in your face and says, "Except tell me you profess a Christianity and I'm going to kill you, or deny it and you'll live." There may come a day like that. We have had people that have stood in that same situation. The question is, in that moment, the question is every day, what shall I do? What do I do with Jesus? So what you want to ask you this, and young people, it's important that you answer that question now and then stand on your answer. Yes. It's important that you make your decision now as to what you're going to do with Jesus, what you're going to do with God, what you're going to do with Christ. Then stand on that decision. Make it now, make it firm, and stand on it. Use it to be strength. And those of us who are not young people, we've got to do the same thing. Because it doesn't stop as to me needing Jesus. It doesn't stop as to what we're going to do. Because the world still looks at you and me. The world still looks around and says, hey, what are they doing? How are they representing? What's their life like? And they're watching us, and they're watching to see what we're doing with this man we say we serve and we love. This man that we say is our friend and our Savior. So what shall we do with Jesus? So just for a quick minute, I want to take a look at a couple of things about Jesus. What shall you do with this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Who is this God, this Jesus we talk about? Because till you can figure out, till we can get it in our minds who he is, we're not going to know what to do with him. It's like having a cell phone for me. I don't know how it worked, that thing. I have no idea. People talk to me all the time about the cell phone and stuff you do. I'm like, I call and I answer calls. I text. I don't like it. It makes me mad. My phone is, it just makes me mad. But if you ask me to do anything else with it, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So it's like taking this thing that you don't know how it even works and saying, what do I do with it? Well, I don't know. Well, let's figure it out. So who is this Jesus? Who is this guy? Who is this one that we're asking that Pilate said, what shall I do with him? So first I want to look at the fact that he's the creator. He's the great creator. Jesus is the creator God. He's the one who in the beginning, the Bible records, and we talked about this in Sunday school, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God spoke things. In the beginning, it says down in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, speaking of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness create we him. John tells it like this. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The same was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on down there about verse 14 or 15, and it says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Jesus was there. He's the one that created. And if you think about that, he's the one that started this whole thing. So he goes back way beyond where we are. He goes back farther than my mind can fathom. I can't think and think about being alive when everything happened in the beginning. But the Bible says that he was right there. He was right there forming us, making us, molding us, speaking every little thing by his power, his creating power. What he did is he took something or nothing and made something. The Bible says he spoke into the darkness and said, let there be, and then there was. And that was Jesus. He said, we created you. Then he created, he said, we created them. The Bible says down in Romans, I think it's in chapter 4, it says that God, being Jesus, he calls things that be not as though they are. He calls things that be not as though they are. What's that even mean? Well, it means this. When you have a need and you don't know how it's going to get met, he does and he makes it happen. Amen. He does and he makes it happen. He's the God that is the creator of things when we can't find a way to create them. He's the God that makes a way when we don't know how it's going to be done. He's the God that makes things happen on your behalf. On your behalf. Now think about that. Think about the God we sing about, the God we worship, the God we serve, the God who put it all into place, the God whose power is in his word, the God who holds everything just where it's supposed to be for you in your life, makes things happen the way it needs to happen. Exactly when it needs to happen, exactly how it needs to happen. Now God and I differ on timing sometimes. God and I differ on timing. I think it should be done sooner, and God knows it should be done a little later. But here's the thing about that. When my timing and God's timing doesn't work out, one of us is wrong. One of us is wrong. And that one hates to admit that. You know what I mean? I like the guy. I don't know who it was. I think it was Ray Kroc. I like the guy who busted the hole in the wall of the restaurant and said, all you got to do is zoom by. You don't even got to wait long. I'll toss it out to you. Because I don't like waiting. I like the guy who invented the add 30 seconds on your microwave, right? Who cooks with a microwave? Mostly guys, we do. Yeah. Greatest invention ever, right? The microwave. Quick, done, eat, 30 seconds later. Don't always taste good, but you know what? It works. It works. But God says, you know what? I created this world. I created everything in it. I created all the powers. I run it. I control it. And what I'll do for you is exactly what you need me to do for you. What I'll do for you is exactly what you need when I need it, when you need it. You know, it's kind of like God says to his disciples when they're getting ready to get in the boat. He says, let's get in and let's go to the other side. And what's that tell me and you? If we're in that boat, what's that tell me and you? What's it tell you if you're in that boat? All right, I heard we're safe. What else? We're going to the other side. Their disciples are human. But Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And he gets in the boat with the disciples. They all jump in with the Savior, with the Master, with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, with the one they've watched perform miracles, the one that they've watched do all these fantastic things. And he says, come on, boys, we're going to the other side. So they get in the boat and they start to the other side. But halfway through, things go a little awry, right? In their mind, they go a little awry. The plan is not working out. It's just not working out. It's kind of like when you and God, or me and God, have a plan. We're going to get from A to B, and we're going to do it straight through here. And God says, well, you're going through there, but I'm going around this way. And if you want to go with me, you'll go around this way. But this way has cliffs in it. I don't want to go that way. This way has valleys. I don't want to go that way. This way is straight and flat. So they get in the boat. You know how it goes. They get in the boat, and halfway through, storms come up, and the water rages, and they start doubting what's going on. They start doubting Jesus' plan, God's plan. His plan has always been, we're going that way. Now, he's the God that created the wind and the rain and the storms and the seas. He's the God that controls it. So what happened? He said, all right, boys, I got you covered. That's what he wants to tell you. I've got you covered. I've got you taken care of. Got it all worked out. Just sit back, walk with me, sit back, follow me, sit back, step in my footsteps, sit back, take me by the hand, and we've got this thing all worked out. All worked out. But we don't always do what he wants us to do. But if we do, and when we do, we find that Jesus, the Creator, the one with the power of creation, will create in your life. Crazy, miraculous, mysterious things that happen. Amen. Thought about what Jim said this morning. He said, Jesus is the one that can do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And what I like to think about is when you have ideas, when you have things going on, and when you have life happening, if you'll let your mind just wander and let your mind just go out and dream of ways and things that can happen, just remember that that's not even touching what God has in mind for you. That God's ways and thoughts are so much bigger that this one whose creation, who's a creator, will for you create a life of abundant blessings. That's what he'll do for you. So what will we do? What shall we do with this Jesus? What am I going to do with this Jesus who has the power of creation? God, it makes me think about it. I thought about when I was going through this studying about a story I heard a long time ago. About two boys. I'm going to read it to you because of my memory. But it says, the couple had two little boys, ages 10 and 8, who were excessively mischievous. Anybody know two boys like that? Anybody been one of those? Any girls in here want to say you were one? The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured that if anything was going on mischievously that occurred in town, that their two young sons were right in the middle. The parents were at their wits' end as to what to do about their son's behavior, and the mother heard that a clergyman in town had been very successful in disciplining children in the past. So she asked her husband, do you think we should send the boys to speak with the preacher? The husband said, we might as well. We need to do something before I lose my mind. So the clergyman agreed to speak with the boys, but he said, I want to do it individually. So the 8-year-old went in to meet with the clergyman first, and the clergyman sat the boy down, decided to cut through the chase, get straight to the point. He said, son, where is God? The boy made no response. So the clergyman repeated it with a little more stern tone. He said, "Son, where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. So the clergyman raised his voice even more and shook his finger in his face and said, "Boy, where is God?" And at that point, the 8-year-old busted and ran out the door. Ran all the way home, ran into his closet, and got in there shaking. And the big brother ran in after him and says, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He says, we're in big, big trouble. He said, "What's going on? What's going on?" He said, "God's missing, and they think we did it." Is God missing in our life? What do we do about that? What do we do about that? Because he's ready. God, is God missing in your life? This powerful God wants to be a part of your life. So Jesus, this man, what do you do with him? What do you do with the one that has the kind of power to create things? What do you do with the God that is a man? The God that is a man. Galatians tells us, he says, you know, when the fullness of time had come, when it was right for the plan, that God sent Jesus from heaven to earth to be born of a virgin, to be made of a woman, to be made under the law, to be made into a human, just like me and just like you. Why? So that he would go through everything that we go through, everything that we feel, everything that we think, all of our emotions, all of our reactions, all of our feelings, all of our heartaches and all of our sadness and all of our happy days. Hopefully you have more happy days and sad days. But Jesus came down from being God in heaven to being God on the earth in a man's body and did it just for you. Jesus came down to be tempted in a way that we, when we go through, that he would know exactly what we're going through. Let me ask you a question. Let's say I'm going through a trial. All right? Let's say something bad happens in my life. What could it be? Somebody give me something. Sickness. Well, I was going with Pittsburgh Steelers losing, but I'll go with sickness. Sickness in my life. All right? Can you tell me how I feel? Can you tell me my emotions? See, that's the thing. We can go through the same thing, but I can't tell exactly what you feel because I've never lived your life. I've never went through to this point in your life things you've gone through. You've never gone through things I've gone through. I don't have your makeup and your mindset and your characteristics, your personality. I don't have that, so I don't know exactly what you feel. I don't know what you think and what your emotions are. You know, I look at people going through things and I see them reacting and I'm thinking, why do you react like that? You know, we judge people, right? We judge people as to what we would do to what they're doing. You know what I mean? And we don't judge them until it's something that I would do good at. You know what I'm saying? If it's something I would do good at, then I judge them. You know, they're whining, you know, whining and moping and no. And I'm like, why would you even act like that? That's not a big deal. To me, it might not be because of who I am. But to you, it might be a huge deal. Like when Pittsburgh Steelers loses. Who cares about that? Yeah, I'll pray for all of you. I'll pray for all of you because you should. You should. Be number two. But see, we don't know exactly how each other feels. But you know who does? Jesus. Why? Because he was a man. He was God in the form of a man. And if you think about it, it was harder for him to be that man than it is for me to be that man. Why? Because he knew that he had within him the power of God, but he couldn't use it that way. He restricted his own power. Only God could restrict his own power. And only because he let himself be restricted by himself, he couldn't do what he knew he could do. You see, if I'm out there on a cross, I can't step off the cross and call legions of angels down. I just have to die. But he could have stepped, like Andrea tells us all the time when she sings her song, "He Chose the Nails." He could have stepped off the cross and called legions of angels down and just wiped out everybody and said, "I'm going back to heaven, forget everybody. You all just go on to hell and have a good time doing it." But he didn't. He was a man with feelings, a man, a human with emotions, going through just what we go through. This God, this Jesus, what am I going to do with him? What am I going to do with the one who can actually help me feel better, know better, that can help me when I'm going through things to tell exactly what I need? He can say exactly what I need to hear. Many times when you guys go through life, you're going to find that friends go through situations and painful things, and you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. Many times there's nothing you can say, and that's a terrible feeling. We want to say the right things that will help them feel better, but we can't. But God can. Why? Because Jesus became a man just like you and me. So what are we going to do? What shall we do with Jesus, this man? What shall we do with the God of all power? You know, the Bible says in Genesis that the way he created things was by just speaking it. Now let me have somebody do me a favor. Somebody call a nail to be created in the middle of our floor. 1, 2, 3. Somebody say it. Say, let there be a nail.
Be a nail.
I don't see it. Didn't happen. Why not? Because we're not God. God created everything that we see, except for you and me, by the word of his mouth. The Bible says that he holds all of creation in order by his spoken word. That's the power of God. That's why when people talk about, oh, the meteor's going to hit, and the asteroid's going to hit, and we're all going to burn, and we're all going to catch on fire. Those who live, it's going to knock the earth away from the sun, and we're all going to freeze to death. And, you know, everything's going to go, you know, ho-hum, hum-drum, doomsday, give it up, drop your head, dig the hole, crawl in, bury yourself, because we're going to die anyway. That's not what the Bible says. And I'll go with the one who has the power to hold it all in place. You know, Jupiter getting out of its rotation. Well, it ain't going to hit the earth because God said that's not how it's going to end. Well, global warming. The globe's getting too hot, right? Anybody think it's getting too hot?
Not today.
Anybody up at in Morgantown last night? It's not getting hot, I'll tell you, right? It's not getting hot. So, maybe it's getting too cold. Well, that's not how it's going to end. Because Jesus tells us how it's going to end. The Bible says that here's how it's going to end. And I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know, read it. Book of Revelation tells you. But God's got it all under control by the word of his mouth. The power is not just in his body and his life. It's in the word of his mouth. Whatever he says is going to happen, happens. He spoke things and they became. And he speaks things and they happen. Or they don't happen. And nature itself, like we talked about on this. Think about it. On the sea, he just stood up and he looked at the wind and looked at the waves. And the Bible says he rebuked the wind and said, stop. And it said, okay. And it says that the waves, he said, stop. And the great calm, and they said, okay. That's all you had to do was say it. That's all you had to do was say it. The Bible says one day he got off the boat and he was walking in the town. Says he got off the boat. He was met with a man who had a thousand demons in him. And the man comes up to Jesus and Jesus says, unclean spirit, get out of that man. And he said, okay. And it got out of that spirit, got out of that boy. You know, Jesus says, make it happen. And it happens. Yes. That's the one who has the power. That is this man, Jesus, who has the kind of power to make what we think needs to happen, happen, or make what we think don't need to happen, happen. But whatever it is, it's the best thing that can happen. And it's this Jesus who said, I have the power from the beginning to the end. When time began, I was in power. When time ends, I'll be in power. I'll be in power all the way through. And when we're done with time, we're going to step over into heaven, which he created. And he's going to pull us with him. And we're going to walk around in heaven. I don't know what you'll be doing in heaven. Anybody know? I know part of it will be praising God. Amen. Praising the one whose power brought us through. Praising the one whose power made the way. Praising the one who kept you so that you can make it through. Praising the one who kept me so I can make it through. I can't make it on my own. I can't make it on my own. I've proven that. I've proven it. On my own, I'll fail. I'll miss this thing. I'll mess it up. I'll miss that mark. But you know what? With the power of Jesus living in you, with the power of God within you, he gives you the power to do it. He gives you the power to make it. He gives you the power to overcome. And when you learn to walk in his power, life becomes a whole lot easier. Now, it's not a bed of roses. He never said that. What he said was, it's going to be even harder. But know this, I'll be there with you. I'll be there in you. I'll be there for you. I'll carry you through. I'll fight your fight. I'll make the way if you'll just follow me. So what are we going to do with this man who has all this power? Because he wants to use that power for you. He wants to use that power to make you victorious. He wants to use that power to make you live the life that he wants you to. He wants you to use that power to make it through this life all the way to heaven. All the way to heaven. Not part of the way, not some of the way, all the way. Just like he went all the way to the cross, to the grave, back out of the grave and back up to heaven, so that one day you can just follow that same road. Should we die, into the grave we go, out of the grave we'll come, up to heaven we'll go. Or if we should live, if we should still be here. And I don't know, how many of you want to be around when Jesus calls? Anybody want to still be alive? How cool would that day be? How cool would that day be? I mean, you know, think about it. You're just walking down the road, walking with a friend, right? Just walking down there. Doo-doo-doo. Next thing you know, shoo! Just up out, I mean, shoo! Clothes drop down and the spirit goes up and get the white robe. You know, I mean, how anybody want to fly without an airplane? Yeah, that'd be cool. You know what I might do? Because we'll be in heaven forever, right? I mean, a long time. I might on my way up, I might make a couple of loops. You know what I mean? Just shoo, 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 just going up. Like, I'll be right there. I'll be there in a minute. Let me just fly around a little bit. When I get to heaven, you know, just fly around heaven. I don't know. But I don't know. But that's cool. I don't know. We don't know what heaven's going to be like exactly. But I know what I'd like it to be like. So I can fly around, you know, like Superman. However Superman flies. And I saw a picture one time. Saw a picture. And, you know, they were like, the dude was like that. And that was supposed to be Superman. So I don't know about that because I want to fly. Anyway, where did that come from? Have no idea. Anyway, this Jesus, though, this Jesus with all power. Y'all want to fly?
Yeah.
All right, we're all going to fly. When he calls our name, when he shouts with the shout, when we hear the trumpet, maybe it'll be you blowing the trumpet, I don't know. No? She's like, I want to fly. I ain't blowing trumpet. She plays trumpet with Alyssa up in the W band. She knows it was cold last night in Morgantown. Yeah. So, when you hear that sound, I mean, Al did a practice, right? Did a practice demonstration, jumped. How cool would it have been if you didn't come down? Yeah. Anyway, one day. I heard a guy say, right? Nothing's left to happen for it to have to happen. All prophecies fulfilled. It's ready to roll. I don't know about that. I don't know enough prophecy, but I know this. The day that God says, I want it to happen that day, everything's going to fall right in line and he's going to call us and we're going to go. If you're ready, we're going to fly away. All right, one more thing here, real quick. He's your friend. He's your friend. What kind of friend is he? Friend you can talk to at any time. Friend that talks to you at any time. He's a friend, the Bible says, that sticks closer than a brother. A friend at all times. A friend that cares. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for his friend. Went on down there in John, and he said, I don't call you servant, but I call you friend. I call you friend. Whether you call him friend or not, he says, I call you friend, and I give my life for you. He says, I want to do that just for you. Why? Because I love you that much. I created you to be that friend for you. I created you to be that caring person for you. I created you to do that for you. So my question to you tonight, real quick, is this. What shall we do with this Jesus? What shall we do with this Jesus? What did God do with this Jesus? You ever thought about that? What did God do with Jesus? Because what God did with him, he did it for me. The Bible says in John 3:16, what does it say? So you all know the first third. You guys got the fourth. You got it picked up right there, and we ended up here. How about if we all, on the count of three, one, two, three, for God so
loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
That's what God did with Jesus. God did with Jesus. He took him from heaven and said, Son, you got to go down. You got to go. Send you down. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the power to walk that life and walk that life perfect and sinless. The Bible says that he was like us, tempted in all points like as we are, but he went through it and committed no sin, not even a bad word in his mouth, not even a bad thought towards anybody. God gave him the power to do that, and God gave him the power to go through the torment before the cross. Then God gave him the power to go through the cross. Then God, what? What did God do? Then he turned his back on him. When Jesus became my sin. He became my sin. He didn't commit it. He became it. He He became my sin. The Bible says God turned. He can't look on sin. He turned his back. That's when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why in this moment do I not feel you? Why in this moment do I not have communion with you? Why in this moment are you leaving me when I feel like I need you the most? Why? Because of me. Because of me. Because of you. That's what God did to him. That's what God did with this Jesus. So he gave his life up. Jesus gave his life up. Down into the grave he went. 3 days later, God brought him back up out of the grave and brought him on the heavens, set him down on the right hand of the throne of God. He said, now they're yours. Let's get them through. Let's get them through. And when they die or we go back, they're going to all come back up with us. That's what God did with this Jesus. What did he do? What you and I needed him to. God didn't need Jesus to live and die. God didn't need that. I need that. You need that. Now, what will you do with this Jesus? What will you do with this Jesus? Think about all Jesus is and all Jesus has and what all Jesus can do. What are you going to do with him? Choice is yours. If you're here tonight and you're not serving him, you've not given your heart to him, or maybe you've just walked away from him and you decided, really, I don't need you right now, but you're here, so you know you need him tonight. What are you going to do with him? I say we go back to him. I say you come to him. Jesus said, come unto me all. Everybody, each one, no questions asked. That's a good thing about God. He don't ask questions. He don't put you on the spot. He don't interrogate you. He just says, hey, if you'll come, I'll take you. If you come, I'll accept you. If you'll pray, I'll forgive you. If you'll ask, I'll do it. That's what he said. No matter who, what, when, where, why. Where you're at, what you've done, how bad you think you are, or how good you think you are, I'll take you. I'll take you. What about the Christian? What are you doing with Jesus? Well, I gave my life to him, and now I'm sitting waiting to go to heaven. Well, that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to take Jesus to the world and use Jesus as he wants to be used, with power and with love, and going out and getting more people in. What shall we do with this Jesus? What shall we do with this man? What shall we do with this God that loves us that much? The choice is yours. It's up to you. Jesus said, it's all up to you. I did all I can do, and I leave it up to you. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing another song of invitation. If everybody would stand, 316 gets ready to sing. Tonight, if you need Jesus, what do you do with him? What shall you do with him? Come get him. Just come to him. He said, you come to me, you seek me, you'll find me. You know, he said, seek, ask, and knock. We often put that towards wants that we have, needs that we have. That goes for him. If you seek Jesus, you'll find him. If you'll ask for Jesus, he'll answer. If you'll knock, he'll open the door for you. Amen. Because he's here, ready, willing, and available. If you need him tonight, come pray. Someone will meet you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God is good, and all the time. God speaks to the young. God speaks to the not as young. As long as we'll just listen. As long as we'll just listen and listen and obey. Does anybody have anything they want to say?
When he saves the little one, Robbie, he saves the life.
Right. Yeah.
Well, then the older, seemingly the older they get, the harder it is to reach. They'll listen, but they don't act on it. But when these little ones are penetrated by the good news of the Holy Spirit,
yeah, yeah.
That's what they want. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?